fifth case for argument this morning is United States against Moreno Padilla. Mr. Cook.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Dan Cook, attorney with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent the appellant, Juan Moreno Padilla, in this appeal. Two issues in this appeal. First concerns the inclusion of six criminal history points for two convictions from 1991. So they're too old or stale. And the second is a Cunningham type.
What difference does that make? And it looks to me like your client is in criminal history category 6, whether they're included or excluded.
Is that correct? Right. That is right.
So isn't this totally irrelevant?
No, it's not, because Mr. Moreno also requested consideration for variance based on his overrepresentation of his criminal history.
Well, even if he
But he's in criminal history 6, whether or not these count, so it's not overstated.
But his argument, if he goes to 14, United States v. Vargas is the case. It's in our brief. In Vargas, same thing happened. The individual, one criminal history point too many. He is still in a criminal history category 3, I think. This court still remanded because he requested, at that time it was a departure. So there's one too many criminal history point. It doesn't affect.
In the world of Booker, what one says, I think, is he's in criminal history category 6 either way. Mm-hmm. If the district court is aware, as I think the district court was, that these other felony convictions were from 1991,
right,
you're perfectly free to argue for a lower sentence on the ground that 1991 is a long time ago. The district court will consider that.
True.
Is there any evidence that the district court didn't understand that it could consider that, the age of these felony convictions, as a relevant consideration?
No, I think it's the opposite.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we don't spend ages worrying about things that, as a technical matter, don't matter. You appeal to the district court's discretion, and that was done here.
Okay. Well, there's still a problem in this case in light of both arguments. If you consider the 4A1.1 D&E argument as well, if there is no revocation, he goes from 20 to 14. That makes the D&E argument particularly important, because without those 3 points, he goes from a Category 6 to a Category 5.
But in a Category 5, his range is still 70 to 87 months, and he got 80 months. So he's kind of well within that range, too, kind of about in the middle of that range.
I don't disagree. Did he get 80 or 90? He got 80?
He got 80 months, I think, didn't he?
Thought he got 90.
My notes are wrong. Go ahead.
I thought he got 90 months.
Go ahead.
I thought he got 82, but I
really. Go ahead.
I really don't know that matters. Even if it's within the same range, there's cases out there that still remand. One of them, Judge Williams, you cited it in our Jackson case. I forget what it is. But there is precedent that doesn't matter either, that even if a sentence is still within a corrected range, remand is still appropriate. And that's in Jackson, which we cited. There's a case that Jackson relies on. Jackson is a Cunningham case where this court remanded, even though the individual, the sentence would have been the same.
Yeah, but if you're referring to that McNeil case, that was sent back so the information in the PSR could be supplemented.
Right.
So it would be complete.
Right.
So that then it could potentially make a difference in the defendant's stay while he was in a federal institution. I mean, that had a – we don't have such a hook here, do we?
No, well, I wasn't talking about McNeil. But, McNeil is important in and of itself because there is ambiguity in the PSR. I guess that doesn't answer the court's concern with whether it cares.
But I'm just saying here I don't think there's any ambiguity. I mean, there's no dispute about the two convictions were in 1991.
There's no ambiguity that there was a revocation?
Oh, no, we have that issue. I'm just saying that's a separate issue.
Okay.
We were focusing on, I thought, mm-hmm. what difference does it
right.
make?
Right, right.
What difference does it make?
And
I'm saying sometimes it can make a difference.
Right.
Even if the person stays in the same criminal history category, because there it may make some difference in the record at the institution where a person's being held.
Okay.
I'm saying that I don't think it makes any... That's not a rationale here.
Okay. Well,
at least as far as I...
You know, our basis for the remand is Vargas, because Mr. Moreno also requested a variance based on the overrepresentation of his criminal history. So, I mean, that's the basis. That's our position for the remand. I think if you read Vargas, it's factually similar. Of course, it was pre-Booker. I don't really think that would matter because, in fact, I think it would go the other way, because now the district court has even more discretion to consider whether his criminal history was overrepresented. So you have a situation where a person's criminal history should be 14. The court finds 20. You have an argument that three of those points, perhaps technically correct, but really doesn't make any sense to include them. You get down to 11. So I think, you know, now you're at a Category 5. The range drops. And I think there is a reason to remand the case. We don't know if Judge Pallmeyer... And in fact, she got it wrong on this issue. She makes this comment that even if we ignore the parole, he still has a release date of June of 1993. That's just completely wrong. If we ignore the parole issue, it's January of 1992, and they don't count. So there's just a lot of mistakes here, unfortunately. And in light of the 6 points, in light of taking that away, and the 4A1.1 arguments, you do get to a lower criminal history. You do. So you go from 6 to 5. Vargas says you would remand even if you didn't get to 5. I mean, technically you don't get to 5, but in our opinion you should. So that's the basis for the remand. I'll go ahead and reserve my time. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Ms. Hudson.
May it please the Court, Nathalina Hudson on behalf of the United States, the appellee in this case. The District Court did not err by finding that the defendant's 1991 aggravated battery convictions should count for 3 criminal history points each, because the defendant's parole was revoked on each of the 1991 convictions. And this case falls squarely within the Seventh Circuit's Reed decision. Assuming that the district court erred, it was harmless because the defendant would have been in criminal history category 6 without the 6 points that were added for the aggravated battery convictions. The defendant's counsel points this court to the decision in Vargas, where the defendant was assessed 1 criminal history point for a bond forfeiture, and this court remanded the case because 1 point could have affected whether the district court decided to depart downward. But in this case, the district court clearly went through the defendant's total criminal history, and the district court was not dealing with whether a criminal history point would significantly overrepresent the defendant's criminal history. The defendant in this case had 20 criminal history points. And the defendant did not, in this case, argue in the district court in his pro se memorandum or in his attorney's memorandum that the court should depart downward based upon the points assessed for the 1991 convictions significantly overrepresenting the seriousness of the defendant's criminal history. The district court also did not err in not explicitly addressing the defendant's arguments that he should not be assessed 3 criminal history points or the harshness of a 16-level enhancement. The defendant's argument with respect to the 3 points assessed under 4A1 D and E was a frivolous argument. In the defendant's pro se sentencing memorandum, the defendant argued that the 3 points should not be assessed. At no point did the defendant argue that the court should depart downward because those 3 points significantly overrepresented the defendant's criminal history. For these reasons, the government requests that this court affirm the district court's decision.
Thank you, Ms. Hudson. Anything further, Mr. Cook?
Just briefly, Mr. Moreno did ask for what he called a departure based on overrepresentation of criminal history. You know, it's a pro se sentencing memorandum that Judge Pallmeyer let him file. It might not be as artfully done as an attorney would have, but, I mean, it's in there. It's on page 15 of the appendix. And, I mean, it's clear that what he was asking for was the court to consider the overrepresentation of his criminal history. I mean, that's the whole point of the memorandum. You know, that's... I don't know if I'm getting anywhere with whether it matters or not, but I think I've made it clear our position is that, you know, there was ambiguity. That's McNeil. That's one reason. Two, the government never met its burden to prove the revocation. This case is factually analogous to the Eighth Circuit's opinion in Covington. That's the second reason to remand. And, Vargas is the vehicle to do that because he made the overrepresentation argument. I mean, those three cases right there, that's the reason why remand is appropriate. You know, on the second issue, Villegas-Miranda, I think Judge Williams and Tender, you guys were on that panel. Recent case, we filed a 28J letter. You know, that's a 5A1.3 issue. It's about whether when immigration finds a defendant. Same parallel argument here. In fact, the cases we cite in our brief are those cases relied on by this court in Miranda to remand, Fifth Circuit case, Saldana from the First Circuit. I mean, it's the same thing. It just doesn't make sense to say that an individual committed a crime while in imprisonment simply because he was an illegal at the time. You know, the underlying conviction was DUI. You know, Mr. Moreno certainly didn't drive drunk while he was in jail. The only reason why he gets those 3 points is because he exists. I mean, he takes a breath and he's illegal, and therefore he gets 3 points, and that's just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, the reasoning in Judge Mills' opinion, the district court case, is right on point. It's kind of surprising that I would be citing Judge Mills, but so be it. So we would just ask for a remand for those two reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. The case is taken under advisement.